Tonight's scripture is Acts 16:16 through 25. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out of her that very hour. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And then when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into the prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them.
Thank you for coming tonight. If you're visiting with us, we're delighted to have you. And I hope the things that you've engaged in today have been honorable this afternoon. But tonight we are here to worship God and have a lesson from His Word. There was a story in the Galveston, Texas newspaper about a bird. A bird named Chippy. Now, Chippy was active, and he sang like a happy bird. But the woman was cleaning Chippy's cage with a vacuum cleaner. She didn't have an attachment on the end of the hose. The phone rang. She put the phone in her left hand, or put the hose in her left hand, and the phone. And about that time, she sucked Chippy up into that vacuum cleaner. And when she found that out, she hung up, turned off the vacuum cleaner, and opened it up, and believe it or not, Chippy was still alive. Though stunned and startled and dirty and confused, the owner took Chippy into the bathroom and gave him a bath and used the blow dryer to blow him dry. Now, that's not the usual happening in the daily activities of a bird. You know, not many of them have that, but a few of them... like him, do not survive this. But later on, the newspaper did a follow-up article about Chippy, and they asked how the bird was doing, and the owner said, "Chippy doesn't sing anymore. He just sort of sits and stares." And I suggest to you that life has its way of sucking us into a bag and leaving us stunned and startled and confused and scared. And because of these traumas and experiences, we lose our song of joyfulness and cheerfulness. It was a joy to hear Chippy sing. Chippy sang those songs, beautiful, melodious songs, as he chirped away, but now he just sits there and stares. And so because of these things that have happened to us, we lose our song of cheerfulness and joy. Life is out of tune because of the hard blows that we have endured. Sometimes, you know, if you move a piano, the trauma of moving a piano from one house to another or from one room to another, because of that trauma, it has to be tuned by a piano tuner. I have been to places where they play picking and grinning. And it always annoys me as these guys get up there with their guitars and their banjos, and before they start, they go ding, 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 because all the traveling has got that thing out of tune. Basically, they've got to readjust it. And so we spend a lot of our time coping with new situations because our life is out of tune. Sometimes we have to learn how to survive, and the traumas of life has forced us to reevaluate our faith, and our hope and our happiness. And sad to say, many of us become like Chippy. We lose our song of joyfulness, our song of cheerfulness, our song of hope and praise and devotion. You see, our life is a reflection of the song that's in our hearts. We have a new song. The Lord has given us a new song. And our life on a daily basis as we approach people, they either see cheerfulness and happiness and optimism and forgiveness and compassion and enthusiasm. And that's the song we sing. And did you know what? You teach that song to people around you. They watch you sing that song by the life that you live. God wants us to be happy. I have come that they might have life and that more abundantly, more than they can use. John 10 and verse 10. James 5 and verse 13, James says, is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. So having a song of hope and deliverance and joy is not dependent upon our circumstances. Life may not always be what we want it to be. And as I've said to you on a number of occasions, life is lived in a strain most of the time. It's not lived on the mountaintop, it's lived in the valleys. Good, honest believers, children of God, get sucked up into a bag that consists of issues and circumstances and situations, and we say life is not fair because we get ambushed by accidents. Maybe it may be a result of someone's decision that they've made. Maybe it's a vehicle accident. Maybe it's an industrial accident. Maybe it's a recreational accident. Maybe our employer does something that upsets us. The economy, a disease. But in our scripture reading tonight, in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas were brought before the authorities. And their clothes were torn off, and they were beaten with rods, and they were thrown into prison, the inner chamber, where there was filth, and it smelled, and feet in stocks, and they were tortured and wounded and hurting and bleeding, yet they were able to sing. What were they singing? I'll tell you, it was not the blues they were singing. The Scripture says they were singing hymns to God. And so often we review our circumstances, and we conclude there's nothing that we can sing about. We can't sing about this. We have a song, but we don't sing anymore because of the adversity, because of the trauma, because of the disappointment, the disability, the inconvenience, the financial loss, the crisis, the guilt, the stress, the pressure. We don't sing anymore. You see, the traumas of life never come at a convenient time. Is there a convenient time to have cancer? If so, tell me when it is. Is there a convenient time to have a miscarriage? When is it? Never a convenient time to have a miscarriage. When is it a convenient time to lose a loved one in death? Don't know. Lose your job security. The roof to leak. When is it a convenient time to have a car wreck? Or to have your marriage to be in trouble? A relationship to dissolve? Dog to have the fleas? The washing machine to go on the blink? The power to go off at your home? To decide when to put a parent or a spouse in a nursing home? Seek legal assistance, or have a church fuss. When is a convenient time to do any of that? Is there ever a convenient time? You see, having a song of hope and joy and deliverance is not dependent upon our circumstances. The most luxurious ship, it was a French liner, sailed from New York in November 1873. Among the passengers on that ship was Mrs. H.G. Spafford of Chicago, making the trip with her four children, Maggie, Tanetta, Ann, and Bessie. She was Mr. Spafford, he was unable to make the trip with them because of the great ravage that the fire had had in Chicago where they lived. But even though they were happy, he was happy that his family was traveling with Christian companions. At few minutes before they came, he changed the room where they were going to be staying. And he put it more toward the bow of the vessel. He said goodbye and promising he would see them in France in a few weeks. At 2 o'clock in the morning of November 22nd, 1873, when that luxury liner was out several days, sailing on a quiet sea, she was rammed by the English iron sailing vessel, the Lockhart. In 2 hours, that most luxurious French ship had sunk to the bottom of the ocean. 226 people lost their lives, and among those were the four Spafford girls. Several days later, 9 to be exact, when the survivors landed in Wales, Mrs. Spafford cabled her husband these two words, "Saved alone." When he received the message, he said to a dear friend, "I'm glad to trust the Lord when it'll cost me nothing." For him, it was the second time of testing. For you see, just weeks ago, he had lost everything in the Chicago fire. Now he lost his four children at sea. As soon as he could, he booked passage on a ship to Europe to join his wife. And on the way over, in December of that same year, 1873, the captain called him into the cabin and said, "I believe we're now passing over where the ship went down and your girls were on it." That night he found it hard to sleep. Faith soon conquered doubt. And there in the mid-Atlantic, out of his heartbreak and out of his pain, Mr. Spafford wrote 5 stanzas, the first of which contained these lines, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul." You see, the point is this: the world cannot take away what it did not give. The world did not give us a song of cheerfulness. We have a song of hope. We have a song of victory. We have a song of praise. And having these songs that we sing is not dependent upon our circumstances. Having a song does depend upon our consecration to Christ. He bore our sins in His body upon the tree. And having died to sin, we might live unto righteousness. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. In Isaiah 53 and verse number 5, "He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed." Let me tell you something, church. We belong to Christ. We belong to Him, and we can sing that song with our life on a daily basis in front of everybody of joy and happiness and peace and contentment and forgiveness. We belong to Him. I like little kids. I like them. This little boy made him a boat. And on their property, they had a field. Down at the end of that field was a creek that ran by there, and he wanted to put him a boat out there. So he made that boat, finished it, put him a little nail on it, and tied a string to that nail, and then he tied that string to his finger. And he walked down there, and he parted the weeds, and he set that boat down in that water, and he pushed it out until that string got taut. And he watched it as it floated. And all of a sudden, it began to be more boisterous. And all of a sudden, somehow that string came loose from his finger. And he watched it, and he ran down the side of the bank, and he tried to get out to get it. He got a stick, and it was going fast, and finally it got outside, and he was heartbroken. He lost it. He went back home dejected. Days later, he was in town with his folks, and he walked by this secondhand shop, and in the window he saw that boat. And there was a sign, $3.99. He walked in, he told that man, he said, "That's my boat out there." And the man said, "I want the boat." He said, "Son, that's not your boat. I bought that boat. If you want that boat, it'll cost you $3.99. He said, "Sir, you don't understand. That's my boat. I've come to get my boat." He said, "No. If you get the boat, you're going to have to pay me $3.99. So he and the man continued, and finally he was convinced that he was not going to get it. So he went home and started saving his money, saving his change. And he saved up $4. He put it in a bag, and the next time he went to town, he went by there, and sure enough, that boat was still in the window. He walked in, he laid that money on the counter, he told the man, he said, "I want my boat, there's your money, there's $4. The man poured the money out and counted, he said, "That's right." He handed the little boy the boat, he grabbed that boat, and he loved it. He said, "You're twice mine. I made you and I lost you, and now I bought you." That's exactly about us. God made us and He lost us. And then Christ bought us. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 6, "Who gave Himself a ransom for all." You see, we belong to Christ. We've been redeemed. We've been bought. And so why sing in the blackness of midnight? He will be with us. Matthew 28 and verse 20, "I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age." There's a song we sing, "God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He'll take care of you. God will take care of you. No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean, weary one, upon His breast. God will take care of you." You see, we belong to Him. Life may take our health, but not our hope in Christ. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 1, Jesus is our hope. Life may suck us dry financially and emotionally, but not our relationship with God through His Son. 1 John 3 and verse 2, "Beloved, now we are children of God." In 2 Corinthians 4 verses 8 and 9, Paul says, "We're hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed." Why? We belong to Christ. We can sing the song. And I'm here to urge you tonight, don't lose your song. Continue to sing that song. Trauma comes. Change happens. Things come that we don't expect. What are we to do? Crawl in a hole? No. We have a song to sing of cheerfulness and happiness and encouragement and compassion and love, enthusiasm, and praise. Life may take our material prized possessions, but not the exceeding great and precious promises given to us by God, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. Life may twist and turn us in painful ways that causes us to wonder if anyone cares. Does anyone care about me? Cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. 1 Peter 5 and verse number 7. Because of your consecration to Christ, you sing this song. Your life is a reflection of it. On a daily basis, as you rub elbows with people in the marketplace, this is the song you sing of love, and unity, and service, compassion, forgiveness, acceptance. enthusiasm, faithfulness, dedication. And did you know, those of us who are older teach this song to the younger people? I've preached at places before where on one Sunday or one Wednesday night a month we'd have singing. And there'd be 15 minutes set aside during that hour for one of the song leaders to teach us a song, a new song. Teach us a new song. And we'd go through it and run through it. And finally we'd get it down. We'd sing it on Wednesday night. Then we got to where we'd sing it on Sunday morning. And boy, it was beautiful to hear that song being sung because we learned a new song. This song we sing, you sing it, I sing it. You sing the song of joy different than I sing it. But when you blend it together, what a beautiful, beautiful sound it is. It's a beautiful sight. I'm telling you, I'm convinced God has great things for this congregation. God has great things in store for this congregation. As you sing this song, don't lose the song. Don't lose it. God has given you that new song. And having that song does depend upon your consecration to Christ. And so in life, when uncertainties are dominant, others disappoint us, plans and dreams fail. Circumstances are beyond our control. Demands are great. Changes in lifestyle must be made. Pressure is pleasant to please so many people. Energy level is dropped. But when the Lord is your shepherd, surely, surely, goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. If He's your shepherd, that'll happen. Don't lose your song. Having a song does influence the cause of Christ. The song that you sing does lead people to the song giver. Your life. The attitude, the disposition, the way you approach others. Family activities, business affairs, your speech, your behavior, your habits. How faithful you are to the church. There are people who are watching you. They're watching me. And did you know they're watching us? Did you know the world's watching us? As we sing our song. Your life is that song. You sing this song so beautifully. As we sing our parts, when we put it together, it's a beautiful sound. To see the beautiful lives being lived, God will bless us. In Acts 16, the latter part of verse 25, Paul and Silas were singing hymns to God. And notice, the prisoners were listening. They were listening to them. The result of all of this, take all of it, in verses 27 through 34, was the conversion of the jailer and his family. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that they were listening to that song they were singing? Don't lose your song of hope, peace that you have in Christ. The world watches us as life grinds on us like a grindstone, and they're secretly hoping that what we have is true and right and good and precious to us. They're watching us. Not only are they watching, they're listening. They're listening to what we say, how we say it. They're listening to our life as it sings that song of optimism, and hope, and energy, and enthusiasm. They're watching. You see, the world has a song to sing. The world sings the blues, misdirected love, violence and sex and romance, lovers cheating, getting drunk, prison and trains. That's what the world sings. Christians have a song to sing. We're filled with the glory of Christ. There's a song that we sing. You ask me how I know. How dare you ask me how I know He lives? He lives where? In me. That's what the song says. You ask me how I know He lives? He lives in me. He lives in you. And as we sing this song, Christians have a song to sing. Chippy lost his song because of trauma. But he gave us a new song. So I ask you a question. See, I don't know. I have to ask. Have you lost your song? Have you lost your song of joy? Are you happy? Are you really happy in Christ? Are you comfortable where you are? Does Christ mean all to you? Have you lost your song? If so, you need to get it back. You need to get your song back. There's a way for a child of God to do that. Just tell, say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I mean, I messed up. I repent of this. I've been a stick in the mud. I've been negative. I've been whatever. I've just been going through the motions. I want my song back. I'm asking you to forgive me. He'll do it. He sees that sincere heart. He'll do it. Would you like for the Lord to give you a song? A song you can sing in any situation, in any circumstance. You can sing the song of joy and optimism and hope. I like that about Paul. You couldn't wipe the smile off of his face. You couldn't even take what he... He didn't know anything. It all belonged to Christ. He even said, I've been crucified with Christ. No longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. I admire a guy like that. You couldn't hurt him. He's dead. He's dead to self. Alive unto Christ. My, what a man. What a role model. A song that we can sing. In Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3, David said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and He established my steps, and He's put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust the Lord. What is he saying? That song that he's put in my heart, praise be to God, many's going to see it, they're going to fear because of it, and they will trust the Lord. You are important to this community. You are. You are important to your family. You are important to the place where you live, the street you live on, the place where you are important, the song that you sing. Don't lose your song. I don't know how else I can say it. But if you need that song, He'll give it to you. If you'll come and give your life and your soul to Him tonight, He'll give you a good song to sing. You can sing praises to God, And the song that you sing will be the life that you live. One of liberation, one of freedom, one of forgiveness, one of hope beyond this old veil of tears. Do you need a song to sing? Let Him give you the song. The Lord invites you to come and say, I want to give you that song. I want to put that song in your heart. But you got to get on to getting on place, and the getting on place is here. This is the getting on place. Do you have the courage of conviction as a believer? Is it so much so that you're willing to turn from all your sin and repentance and confess with your mouth what you believe about the deity of Christ? And that is, He's the Son of God. Be buried with Him by baptism and a death, raised to walk in newness of life. Let Him add you to the church. Give Him the name Christian. Wear that name proudly. Be faithful unto death. The crown will be yours. And from this moment on, you will sing a song. And people will hear it. And they'll fear because of it. And who knows? You can direct them to the song giver. And they'll trust Him in obedience. Who knows? See, it's really up to you. What are you going to do with that invitation? What are you going to do with it? Will you accept it? The Lord says, come. And He just waits to see what you'll do. I'll meet you down front as we stand and sing.